Hello and welcome to Elevate to Success, discussions on project management and leadership ideas, tips and techniques of being a project manager, agile practitioner, or a leader in your organization. So let's go. Hey, welcome back, Alan. So in this episode, we're going to dive into another area of LPM. Alan, what do you have in store for us today?
Oh, thanks. First of all, glad to be back. Hope everybody's staying safe. So part one of our LPM discussion was what is the LPM and how do we configure it to support the enterprise? And then part two was value stream mapping your portfolio, which is difficult, complex, but critical. Many companies don't fully understand how to do it, and so I would urge you to carefully listen to that episode and follow it rigorously to get a good value stream map. And then part three, which we're going to start tonight, supporting execution with the portfolio Kanban. This is really the fun stuff.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, I can't wait to hear what you have in store for us.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the baton, Alan, so, you know, take it from there.
Yep. Okay. So, you know, when we talk about the Kanban, this works just like a team Kanban. We're going to have states, we're going to have exit criteria, and we're going to have WIP limits, because it's highly, highly typical in a waterfall portfolio to have unlimited work intake. I was working on a project where the first step was to identify all our work, and I discovered that this one company had over 100 critical projects they were working on. How can you work on 100 things that are critical? That means that nothing is critical. Like if I had 100 critical things here at home, I would never get anything done. Where do you start? Where do you start? And so that's one of the benefits of having a Kanban. So we have to govern our flow. And so we have to first identify our steps, just like we're value stream mapping a story where you identify the handoffs of analyze, develop, code, test, acceptance. So the first step is going to be the funnel. And the funnel is where all big ideas are captured. And so I've had to deal with, you know, what is a funnel? How do you get a funnel to work? Okay. So it needs to be for everybody. It's interesting to note that it was a software engineer at Google that invented and developed Gmail. You think he was an executive? No, not at all. But he had a brilliant idea, which has changed Google dramatically. So everybody in the company needs to have access to this funnel. So current transformation I'm working on, we're going to have something called the Idea Portal, and it's going to be on the intranet homepage. And so anybody in the company, an executive admin, a custodian, anybody who has access to the intranet can write in a big new idea. And so you say, well, okay, well, what if it's not big? Well, we have to be able to identify what's a big idea and what's a small idea, because small ideas are not for the portfolio Kanban. So at some point we need to determine what's big and small, and companies need to determine how they're going to make that determination. Are we going to go by hours? Are we going to go by story points? Or are we going to go by dollars? All of them work. You just have to make that decision. And so as an example, the project that I'm on now, we're saying anything over 1,000 hours is an epic. Other places have gone by dollars. Other places go by points. Perfect, ideal, safe, agile, you go by points. Currency for agile is points, but it all works. And then anything that goes into that funnel needs to be able to address our strategic themes, which I think we identified in part one. And so those are the things that support the enterprise via OKRs that we went over, objectives and key results. So say we're an insurance company, are we going to develop a new car that runs on electricity? Well, it's a great idea, but it has nothing to do with our strategic themes. So we're not going to take that. So it has to be challenged against our strategic themes. Say, does this address our strategic themes in a positive way? And so if it does, then we move it to the next state in the portfolio Kanban. And so these are going to be the people on the lean portfolio management. They make a decision to move it along. And so at that point, it's going to you have any questions?
No. Go ahead, Alan. I was just agreeing with you regarding that.
So the first state is the funnel. You can call that new or whatever you want. But in SAFE, we call it the funnel. And so then the next state is called reviewing. And so we're moving it along. We're going to get a better understanding of it. We're going to refine the understanding of the EPIC. We can create the EPIC hypothesis statement. We might even draft the lean business case. But at this point, it has to be WIP limited because the people working, is going to have to be work done on it. And maybe a business analyst or a product analyst or a business systems analyst or something like that. And they can't work on a million things at once. So we have to WIP limit this. And then we also want to prioritize it based on weighted shorter sub first. I forget, have I talked about the weighted shorter sub first at all yet, Lloyd?
Oh, no, you haven't. Haven't talked about that one yet.
Yeah, okay. I'll remember to talk about it a little bit later. But basically, we're prioritizing based on the cost of delay. And so it you say, what does that mean? Okay, well, sit tight. I'll explain a little bit later. But anyway, so we're going to go through this column. We're gonna WIP limit. And we're going to calculate our weighted shorter sub first to prioritize. We're going to create the EPIC hypothesis. And then we're going to say, okay, do we still want to look at this? Is this still looking good? Okay, it is. Okay. People vote, and we move it into the analyzing state. Okay, here's where we get the final deep dive, as deep as we're going to go at the portfolio level. And so that EPIC, we're going to tie to a lean business case. And so lean means small. So we're not going to write a 300-page business requirements doc. We're just going to have it might only be two pages. We're going to identify what it is we want to build, what the current state is, what the future state is, what are the dependent organizations inside and outside the company, what are our business outcomes. And so ideally, we want to do those in the form of OKRs as well. And so what are the business outcome key metrics we want to look at to know that we're successful? And then we want to also identify leading indicators. And a leading indicator is where you're using innovation accounting. You're thinking outside the box to say, okay, so I'm building this really big thing. What is the short of building it and deploying it and waiting for the money to roll in? What's the earliest possible way I could know that this thing works? And so we want to make it lean. We want to make it quick, and we want to make it cheap to be able to test it. And so that often means just experimenting. And so I want to build a rocket to Mars like Elon Musk does. Okay, so let's do a test of a model rocket, and let's have it go up to 30,000 feet. Does that work? Okay, good. Let's keep going. Let's make it a little bigger and have it go 100,000 feet. Oh, that looks pretty good. Okay, so let's now put an iPhone inside the rocket and send it around the Earth. Okay, that's looking pretty good. So we're incrementally making experiments and learning. The benefit of doing that is learning quickly to know if we're on the right track or not. We don't want to commit, $10 billion of our money right now, start building the rocket and find out that we screwed something up halfway into the project and we just lost $8 billion. Let's fail fast and learn. And so that's the concept of a lean business case. So at any rate, we want to pretty much have that lean business case drafted. We want to explore solution alternatives. You can say build versus buy. What are my different vendors I'm going to work with? And then we'll have cost estimates. So how do you do a cost estimate? Well, we want to have that MVP, the minimum viable product. What is the minimum number of features I can identify? They might only be bullets. You don't have to have fully fleshed out features with acceptance criteria. But what are the minimum number of features I can develop and deploy to prove or disprove my EPIC hypothesis statement? And so you estimate at a very crude level the cost of those features in points, and then you add them up and that's going to be the cost of the epic. This epic might have 10 features at 100 points a feature. That's 1,000 points. You might estimate each point is equal to $1,000. Well, that's your $1 million epic. We're going to take that before the lean portfolio management and have like a Shark Tank presentation. This is what I want to do. This is the current state. This is the future state. It's going to cost you $1 million. Please approve this, and I'll go build it and bring it back and show you. And so they're going to say go or no go. And so a go means it moves to the next level. I'll talk about that in a minute. A no-go does not mean go home, get out of town. It might mean we need more information. Let's explore this other alternative. Come back to us next month when you have more information. And so it's not into the world if you get a no-go. And so if it's a go, that means it needs to go into the next stage, which is the portfolio backlog, which means it's in the on the on-ramp to get on the freeway to get built. It still doesn't 100% mean it's going to get built, but it means the portfolio management has approved it. And so it goes into the backlog. It has to get prioritized by the agile release train that's going to build it, or agile release trains. And so then if something else comes along right away that is much higher priority, like say some disastrous virus hits and we have to change our whole business strategy like overnight, which kind of like happened, maybe it won't get built because something is going to pass it up right away. That's why we're constantly reprioritizing based on waiting shorter stuff first. And so at any rate, it goes into the backlog. At that point, the product manager, the release train engineer, the system architect for the particular Azure release trains that will be building it become engaged. They have to start looking at these features and prioritize these features, understand these features deeply from an architectural standpoint. They're going to have to start breaking these features into stories. And so at that point, the teams have to be introduced to the features, because a product owner is responsible for writing the stories. However, it's totally normal for the teams to participate in that. It's very, very rare that a product owner has the technical background of a software development team, you know, tech leader. So you need to have the team participate. And so then those features, which are now prioritized, go into PI planning. And so the teams build and deploy that MVP, whatever it is, whether it's a model rocket or a new software application. And so then we've delivered that MVP, and so maybe that's all there is, but likely there's not. And so the epic owner who's been assigned to this epic will come back to the lean portfolio management and say, let me show you what we built. This epic cost $1 million, as you know, it was 1,000 points. It was very successful. Now we would like to propose a round two of funding to deploy this app. So we successfully rolled out this app on iPhone. It went great. Now we want to do it on Android, and we want to do it on iPad, and we want to do it on desktop, on Chrome. And so you're going to have subsequent releases of that epic. But each time that release needs to get approved by the lean portfolio management. And it might go on forever. Think of the iPhone that was built in, 2007. So every year they come out with a new iPhone. They're going to, the portfolio committee at Apple reviews all the potential features that are going to go into the next iPhone. And they're going to say, yeah, okay, I want this, I want this, I want this, just like a menu. And it's going to be buildable or not buildable. But then the Apple engineers go off and build it. And so before it's released, they demonstrate it and they say, this looks great. Let's go to market with it. And then let's start talking about next year. And so that can go on for a long, like, I'm not going to say forever, but it can go on yeah, for years and years. And then eventually it'll be done. But you're going to go through this lean startup cycle of develop, build, small increment, and then test, and then persevere. Pivot or persevere is what we like to say. And so that's how the Kanban works. And so Let me review those states again. So we have the funnel with all new big ideas, and then the review, which is typically associated with just an epic hypothesis statement, and then analyze, which would be tied to a lean business case, which might be a couple of pages. And then it goes to the backlog, which is like the on-ramp for the agile release trains. And then it gets implemented, and it will keep getting implemented in cycles, round two, round three, round X, until it's done. And so that's the portfolio view. And so when something is done, let's see, what else can I talk about here?
So, Alan, question, from a portfolio roadmap view, those epics are located in that roadmap, right?
And it's
charted out in the different phases while, like you said, they're going through these different Kanban iterations.
Yep, yeah. So was there a question there or what?
No, I was just clarifying from a stakeholders and executive standpoint, where you're building this portfolio, you're building the epics, and you go through this review process and the budgeting process. It's all in sync in this gigantic roadmap.
Yeah, I totally get it. That's a very good question. Hold tight, and before this whole lesson is over, everything will tie together, because the next lesson we're going to talk about budgeting, and I think maybe later in this lesson we're going to talk about roadmap, but it'll all tie together with the last lesson. So, in summary, what are the benefits of a portfolio Kanban? It makes the largest business initiatives visible. It helps drive collaboration, because you're going to have different folks on that lean portfolio management. It provides WIP limits. We can't work on a million things at once, and any corporation that thinks they can is not going to be successful. It brings structure to analysis at a minimum governance level. We don't need analysis paralysis, but if we're going to spend $1 million, it needs to be looked at a little bit. And then, based on our road mapping that I'll talk about in a little bit, we can have a good idea of when we can deliver. So those are the benefits. So the next thing I want to go over real quick here is supporting agile portfolio operations. So this is the second triangle of the three triangles in the lean portfolio management. And so what does the agile portfolio operations do? Well, they coordinate value streams. They support program execution. And they foster operational excellence. And so, coordination of value streams, what does that mean? Well, say you're building something really big. I'll just make this up, a jetliner. So there might be one agile release train building the wings. There might be another agile release train designing the fuselage. There might be another agile release train for the electrical systems, and so on. And so they need to be coordinated on when they're going to deliver, when they're going to demonstrate, how the specs come together. And so that is one of the critical roles of the portfolio management, is to coordinate between agile release trains and value streams. And so we need to apply cadence and synchronization. So if we're going to be doing things properly, all the teams need to start and stop pretty much on the same day. So you might have 2,000 teams across the company, around the world, but all of them start their sprints on Wednesday, and all of them finish their sprints on Tuesday, as an example. One of the benefits to that is they finish their sprints on a Tuesday. Well, Wednesday morning, the CIO can push a button and take a look at how much time and money was spent fixing defects for the whole company in points. And so it's very easy to coordinate metrics when you're applying cadence and synchronization. Also, when things get built, they need to be tested in a common integrated environment. So if all the agile release trains finish their program increments the same, doesn't have to be the same day, but the same week, then you can have this inspect and adapt event where we're doing a system level demo where let's not build yet, we're building it, but let's see how the wing fits with the air, with the fuselage, maybe in a software environment or maybe in a halfway build environment. But we need to do integration tests between the different agile release trains on a cadence. And so the PI is the time to do that. And so we need to synchronize and have a cadence on those PI planning events as well. And so This is also the opportunity where the value streams are introduced to the new work. You have an epic, it gets through the portfolio Kanban, it gets the go from the no, from the go, no-go decision in the analyze phase, and then it's introduced into that value stream. So the epic owner will introduce it to the product manager, release train engineer, system architect, say, okay, this is going into your backlog now. It's this application that we just approved. Okay, good. And so we're going to enforce these integration points, frequency of integration, depth of integration, fidelity of feedback. All those things are coordinated by the portfolio management. And so now let's talk about a roadmap, a portfolio roadmap, just like you were getting ahead of yourself there, Lloyd. So say we're building something big. It requires, as an example, three value streams are building it. Well, so we know with a PI roadmap, we can only make a commitment, one PI out. We can forecast a couple of more PIs or a few more PIs, but that's all it is a forecast. So with the value streams, we can forecast out years. It's going to be less precise, but we can forecast out years. And we can do that by taking a look at the velocity of the Agile release train and the very imprecise estimate of the features that are in that epic. And then we can see where we want them to come together. So it might be, based on our analysis, we think the wing will be ready in 14 months from now. Okay, good. We will integrate that with the fuselage should be finished right before that. So then we'll put the final wing to the fuselage together in 14 months. That's how you coordinate value streams. And so on a little bit more less strategic level, the portfolio management has to understand market rhythms and market milestones. Say you're building a toy. 75% of all toys are bought for Christmas. So you better have that thing built and on the shelves after, I don't know, September. When they have to get that done, but it has to be ready for market for Christmas, or you missed the boat. You totally missed the boat. Say you're building, say you're building a computer system. I don't know when the International Computer Convention show is, but you better have that computer ready to deploy, ready to present for that convention, or you're going to miss that milestone. So market rhythms are critical to your roadmap as well. And so you can develop to that market milestone. And then we're going to coordinate deploying and releasing. Ideally, we're going to deploy continuously, release on demand, but at the very least, we need to deploy and release at the integration points of the PI planning. So our target is the next PI. At the end of the PI, we'll do the system demo. Everything looks good. Then we'll release it. The executives will look at it and play with it then. And so then we'll release it. And so one of the last things, supporting program execution. The Agile PMO has to support execution by working with another group called the LACE, the Lean Agile Center of Excellence. These are going to be your Agile coaches, the experts at doing transformations. A LACE might not be long-lived, but once you bring in your Agile coaches, and that will be your LACE, the Lean Agile Center of Excellence, and they will promote and foster Agile transformation, and they would support the Agile Program Management Office. So we're going to drive operational excellence with communities of practice. So, a community of practice, that's like, of course we have community of practice. Most companies don't. It's surprising that most companies don't. You need to set up a COP for the Agile leaders, whether they're Scrum Masters, Agile leads for a Kanban, release train engineers, solution train engineers, all those need a community of practice. They can go to the same one, but there should be a community of practice for product, where product owners and product managers get together. And there should be a community of practice for developers. And that can even get even more specific, like, we have a Java COP, or we have a Selenium COP. or we have a, you know, BDD, behavior-driven right. development COP, a DevOps COP, a Ruby COP. And so it's where anybody with a common interest get together across teams and learn and share knowledge. And so it's really critical for a success of a transformation to do that. And so how do LACE models work? Well, depends on how big your company is. If your company is not that big, you can just have a centralized LACE. But if it's a bigger company, the more preferred model is hub and spoke, where transformation I worked at, every business unit was doing their own transformation, and they had a couple of representatives that were representing their business unit in the LACE, in the hub and spoke, so that the central LACE had their own goals, they had their own backlog, they had their own features, and then inside of those features would be stories for each business unit. So like one of them might be to roll out the new DevOps class. Okay, so each business unit would have that as a story to roll it out. So we need to promote the agile transformation across the enterprise, and the way to do that is with a hub and spoke LACE operating model. So portfolio sync, that's where the portfolio gets together, they make those decisions, they look at those epics, they approve the movement of those epics through the states. When do they meet? How do they meet? What does an agenda look like? The purpose is to go through those things that we talked about, strategy and investment funding, agile portfolio operations, and lean governance. Okay, so a typical agenda might be portfolio Kanban review. Okay, what Kanbans are we, what epics are we going to review today? None? Okay, let's move to the next thing. What lean business cases do we have to review and approve to move this epic into the portfolio backlog? Let's re-review our portfolio vision and portfolio canvas to make sure that we're still on track. You know, we just pivoted to mobile, so let's make sure everything we're working on is mobile related. And so then once an epic has been completed, the MVP, let's review that MVP. Let's look at the metrics. Let's look at the business outcomes, OKRs that were delivered from this epic. Do we want to reapprove for round two or round three funding? I don't know. That's a decision that the lean portfolio management need to make. And so then we'll make a summary of those decisions, deal with questions. And so that might be a monthly meeting. I've worked at companies that do it twice a month. And so, I would say common is monthly. And then every 3 months, you might do a strategic portfolio review, where that's where you're going to look at the vision and portfolio canvas. So you don't need to do that every month. And then once every 6 months, we'll do a lean portfolio budgeting, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the next talk. But this group would be running that. And so that's what an agenda might look like. Let's see here. So that's about it
Alan, real quick. Quick question regarding the portfolio sync. Is in this agenda also too, would you also look at discussing metrics and KPIs and anything that has to do with, you know, measurements?
Yeah. Okay. If I didn't mention that, that was an oversight here. Let me see my notes here.
I was wondering if that's reviewed as well too, to ensure that, hey, you know what? Okay, we're in sync with our portfolio.
Actually, I'm going to talk about that in my next talk, the last talk. However, that would happen in this meeting. We'd be regularly looking at portfolio level metrics, and I'll share with you what those are in a few minutes, but in our next talk. But that would happen in this meeting as well. So whoever the lean portfolio manager is might start the meeting with, let's review our metrics. And so, yeah, very good point.
Okay, so that will come into our next episode.
We'll
discuss those topics, and great. This was a lot of good information. I mean, where can our listeners go to get more information?
Sure. I'm sure I've said, the Scaled Agile Framework is open and transparent. You can go actually to scaledagileframework.com, look at the big picture, and click any of these little links up at the top at the portfolio level, and new pages open up, and it's many pages of information. It can be a little overwhelming. I wouldn't recommend to DIY, do it yourself, to set up a lean portfolio management. It's certainly possible. Somebody who's really engaged and motivated can listen to this and read up and start deploying a portfolio. Otherwise, you can engage with an SBC coach who's experienced with portfolios. And so not all SBCs have that experience. To be an SBC, a safe program consultant, you certainly have to understand how a portfolio works, because that's part of the test and the training. However, having that experience of transforming a waterfall portfolio to a lean portfolio is just as important as having that certification. So find a coach. I was about to say that,
Alan, that, hey, everybody, you know, Alan is a coach. He's experienced in this area. He's certified, and he would be glad to speak to you or consult your organization regarding a lean portfolio. If you guys are having difficulty with getting your portfolio in sync.
Yeah, absolutely. What's my email address? Let me pull it up. I have like 10 emails. I'll tell you what it is real quick here. I'm available at Alan, A-L-L-E-N, .Ward, that's W-A-R-D, at Alladys Consulting. That's A-L-L-A-D-Y-S, consulting.com. And so I have a website. That's my email address. Anybody wants to talk, anything safe, you know, contact me. We can have a nice little chat if you want to engage with me. You know, we can talk about it. So I can talk all day about safe and agile.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so great. Until our next episode, Alan, thanks again for taking the time out of your busy schedule and getting us into this part of it. And so I think we have a last part in our next episode.
Absolutely. Stay safe, everybody.
Okay. This is Elevate to Success, your host, Lloyd Philip B. with Infinity Bold. For more information on how we can help you with your project management, coaching, as well as mentoring, you can go to my website at www.infinitybold.com and send me an email. Please share this podcast and also tell a friend about us. Until then, keep it real.